Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Silva, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Hope you're getting through the rain on this rainy Tuesday, wherever you may be.
At least it's got a little bit of a, you know, warm. It's a warm rain. Cold rain, I can't stand. 65 and higher and a little bit of rain doesn't bother me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Waddle likes a warm rain.
Yeah, as opposed to cold rain.
Yeah, no one likes a cold rain.
No.
That's miserable.
Purple rain, the best rain of all.
Yes, a Prince purple rain. That was a cold rain during purple rain.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
In Miami, out of all places. Yes. Who would have thought you'd get a cold rain?
Yeah.
In Miami
that
during the Super
chilly.
Bowl.
That was a chilly experience.
It was all downhill after halftime. After everyone got sick watching that halftime show out in the cold rain.
Yeah.
And then the Bears
got sick.
The Bears made everyone sick in that second half in Miami. But look, good days ahead. Good days ahead. By the way, I have an appearance on Thursday. I'll be out at Slightly Toasted.
Slightly.
That's in the Loop. Right by Ogilvie train station. Do you know which one Ogilvie is? If I said Waddle, there are two train stations in town where you can go get the Metra.
Ogilvie's got like more of a glass exterior,
very
correct?
Very good. Yeah. That's very good.
Whereas Union Station is more... The area around Union Station is all dug up right now because they're doing a bunch of rehab over there.
Yeah, Union is where you can also get the Amtrak and everything like that. Ogilvie, you get Metro at both of the places, but, you know, you get some lines at Ogilvie. I used to live across the street from Ogilvie. My old condo was at Randolph and Canal.
So whenever you just wanted to go out and take a train ride, you just had to walk out the front door of your building.
Yeah, my balcony literally overlooked the trains.
Was it loud?
Very loud.
Yeah.
The hums of the train constantly went on.
Yeah.
And then, like, some days on the weekend, the horns would start at, like, 6 or 7 in the morning.
Yeah.
And
did you move because of that?
No. I still love that condo.
Yeah.
That's where I used to tell you that David Terrell had a spot in that building at one spot at one time. But, like, the diesel, you would smell it, too.
Do you like that?
No.
No. See, I like a good marker, maybe some gas, but I don't think the diesel is what I want. I'd huff a marker every now and again, but I don't think the diesel would.
The fumes from my balcony was literally right on top of where the engines would run.
Were you able to have a grill out there?
Yeah, I did have a grill.
Yeah.
Just
got to make sure you're grilling when they're not running.
Oh, no. There were no
diesel,
rules like that.
Well, the diesel smoke gets into your burger. Then you're eating diesel burgers.
Who knows? Maybe that's why I got sick many years later. Could have been from that.
Was it the diesel or was it these nuts?
Very good, Miller. Nothing like a good these nuts joke.
Really? You know what? Next time, deliver the other joke you had on time and leave the these nuts to us in here, all right?
So anyway.
By the way, there's a good story, a good Waddle's World story about a guy whose legal name is These Nuts. It's his first name.
I bet he's not the only one. I bet there are many people who have changed their name.
I think Urlacher probably thought long and hard about changing his name just for laughs.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, I'm going back to the old neighborhood where I used to live. I lived in that neighborhood for 4 or 5 years. And I'll be at Slightly Toasted. The exact address is 22 North Clinton. It's basically Clinton and Madison. And again, the name of the bar is Slightly Toasted. The event starts at 5:30. We're on Thursday till about 6 o'clock that day. So the Nissan Titan Street Team will start it at 5:30. I'll be over at about 6:15. It will go till about 8:15. I'll be giving away a twosome to our sold out Grippin' and Sippin' classic, which is sold out. It's presented by Elijah Craig, Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. You cannot buy any more spots. It's sold out in, what, like 20 minutes or something like that this year? You can get this twosome on the Waddle and Sylvie team. Who's playing for me? Because I don't golf.
My hope would be that Tyler was the guy. No, Miller doesn't play either. That Tyler was going to break away and be part of the performance.
It's the Grey Clips, Waddle, and Sylvie team. We're doing it in teams this year in the golf outing. So will these people get to play with you and Tyler? Is that how this is working?
I'm not sure.
Or do you just get a spot in the golf event and get to socialize with everybody?
Yeah, and I think that how your team does will basically be part of our scoreboard.
Yeah, your score is part of our team.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. It's a very intimate golf outing. You'll get lunch with us. You'll get dinner with us. You'll have a spot to win at my event on Thursday. Again, 22 North Clinton. It all starts at about, what time did I say?
6:15 is when you're going to be there. Yeah. 5:30 for the street
is when
team.
It starts. Yeah, 5:30 is when it
you
starts.
You don't think I listen, but I listen.
I know you listen. I never accuse you of that. 5:30, slightly toasted, 22 North Clinton on Thursday. All right, Jesse has called in, and he said Bellinger is up, so he should be in the lineup tonight, I would assume.
DHing, I believe.
Oh, good.
That's what I hear.
Bellinger is activated. Canario and Keegan Thompson coming. What is this? Canario and Keegan.
No, so Bellinger's coming up for Canario, and then Keegan Thompson's coming back up for Daniel Palencia.
Oh, would they send Keegan Thompson back down after his last outing?
They must have. I was thinking the same thing.
I didn't know that he was even sent down. So Palencia is hurt?
Yes.
So he's going to the IL?
Correct.
What happened to him?
His
feelings being hurt after giving up three hits and three earned runs in an inning of work.
He might have the old hemorrhage DRA as well.
They never want to play Canario either. Neither manager likes to play Canario.
Giving him the Morrell treatment?
A little bit.
David Ross Morrell. Good Chris is back.
Yes,
Good
he
Chris is.
Is
back.
Yeah, for sure. And he's on his hot streak right now. And even through some of the slump, his whiff rate is way down this year comparatively.
He's had to have taken a higher percentage of walks this year than at any time in his career.
It's not close.
Yeah.
He's got like 18 walks, 17 right. or 18 walks already on the season. So again, Bellinger is back. He's up for Canario. Keegan Thompson has been activated as well. And Palencia is hurt. And
and one more piece to Seiya Suzuki is going to start his rehab at Iowa on Wednesday.
Okay, good. So a couple of starts for him down there.
So he goes to a rehab situation like because he's been out longer?
I would think so, yeah.
As opposed to Bellinger just coming right back up to the big team?
Yeah, because Bellinger got hurt in the the series against Houston. That was what, 10 days ago?
Okay. So Seiya's been out longer, and when you're out longer, you then go hang out with the double or triple A guys for a few games and then come up.
And then, like we've talked about, this is an oblique where I'm sure you want to make sure that this is really...
Yeah.
That you don't want to re-injure this. Yeah. Yes. So you want to make sure that this is okay. So Bellinger's just, it's more of a pain tolerance thing with, I think he had a couple of fractured ribs after running into the wall.
When you go down for an assignment like that, like does Seiya... Because I know you're staying in crappy hotels, right? In minor league. What does Seiya do? Does he get his own hotel? I mean, does he have to ride the same bus?
How
and all
bad
that?
Do you think that? I mean, you don't think Des Moines has like a clean hotel room for
maybe,
him?
Maybe so, but I don't know if the Cubs minor league system is staying at the nicer Des Moines hotels or they're staying at the less nice Des Moines hotels.
Do you think they've got a couple of. A VRBO places, too, that they
That's
keep
a really good question.
Just for their guys Boom. Who go up and down.
Never thought about that, but it right. should be that way. That cat makes $15 million a year. You think he wants to be at the Budgetel Hotel?
I don't think
eating
this is...
chips and peanuts?
But this isn't the 70s anymore where you've just got roadside inns in Des Moines.
Where are they staying?
Des Moines is still it's the biggest city in Iowa.
I'm not coming down on Des Moines. I'm asking.
It sounds like you are.
No,
so make sure you're up by 10 a.m. if you want some of that continental breakfast.
There you go. I'm asking whether or not that the Cubs listen.
Let's
biblical losses up there. This isn't about Des Moines. This is about how the Cubs are doing their business.
I would guess even with biblical losses, you can still afford a nice place in Des Moines.
I think you probably can, but I don't know if that's what the Cubs choose to do. I know the White Sox are probably sleeping outside in tents, aren't they?
There's a Hilton Des Moines downtown. It's a 4.3 stars on Yelp.
But you're not understanding what I'm saying.
That's a Hilton.
I know that there are nice places in Des Moines. I'm asking whether or not the Tom Ricketts family are actually spending the money on those hotels for their guys?
I think it's a fair question. I mean, if Boog and Jim Deshays can't even go out to spring training for the full,
that's right,
you know, 6 weeks.
Right. So which hotels in a very nice section of Des Moines, Iowa, are the Cubs actually staying? That's the question.
So you think this is an affordability factor out,
yes,
of the ownership?
Yes, not a Des Moines issue. But I think your point about a VBRO or whatever the hell, VRBO thing,
yeah,
I think that's a great idea.
Executive housing, maybe, yes, that they purchase for the year.
I think that's great.
To go in and out of.
I think it's great. I think it's a great idea.
There's a Hotel Fort Des Moines. It's a Curio Collection by Hilton.
Yeah.
4.5. It's a 4-star hotel.
Again, are you...
I'm hearing.
How much does it cost?
Having a conversation with my dog right now.
You can get it right now for tonight.
For how much?
Let's play the price.
$125 a night.
You're close. You're close.
Does that come with a vibrating bed?
Put the quarter in.
You put the quarter in.
Do those still exist?
I don't know.
Probably somewhere. I told you the story where my dad got very mad at us.
That's right.
We remember this when we were driving to Florida 1 year and we stopped at a hotel and I got very excited with the vibrating bed. I put a quarter in and
it wouldn't stop.
And like, I don't think there was a plug or anything like that. We had to change rooms. He was furious at us.
Last time you took a roll of quarters with you on vacation, wasn't it?
So the Hotel Fort Des Moines Curio Collection by Hilton is $162.
Okay.
$162.
Excellent. Do you believe this is the question? Not is there. What's the name of the hotel?
Hotel Fort Des Moines Curio Collection.
Not is there
collection.
A Fort whatever Curio Hotel. Is Tom Ricketts and his crew, is Crane Kenny signing off on the bill for everybody there?
Do you think they've got like the Costanza of the organization, the assistant traveling secretary, that they are budget shopping? So,
instance...
No, Saya's got to use the app. He's got to book it himself.
Oh, he's got to book it himself.
No, he's got the VRBO.
Yeah, but like through the Cubs app. He's got to like file an expense report.
Someone in Marquee has to approve it?
Yeah.
The Embassy Suites by Hilton in Des Moines. I don't know. Hilton must have like a monopoly in Des Moines. Those are the only ones coming up. The Embassy Suites tonight, $103.
That's a bargain.
So do you think they're bargain shopping?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
You can save $59 by staying at the Embassy Suites versus Hotel Fort Des Moines.
I'm just asking, where do they house their teams? Like, most of these guys don't make a lot of money, do they? Like, what do you make on it if you're a double-A player?
Well, it's what Ben Brown said, where he was being honest with Jesse. When he was asked, hey, would you rather be in the starting rotation or the bullpen? And Ben Brown was honest, and he said, I'm just happy I'm making a major league salary.
Correct.
And not the minor league salary.
So, like, that's my point.
Oh,
what are they paying guys?
I don't know.
It's like a dirty little secret, though. A lot of, like, minor league pitchers will
Wasn't there an issue, Meller, with the Cubs, like not too long ago, that they had a problem because they weren't paying their guys enough?
Well, I think that's a major league baseball. Yeah, but
that's my point. None of these guys are staying at the Hilton in Des Moines.
Like pitchers,
the major leaguers are.
Like pitchers will pitch through pain in the minor leagues and then get up to the majors and then admit they're feeling something so that if they hit the injured list, they make the major league salary as opposed to, you know, on the minor league scale.
I'm just asking, does Saya have his own VRBO that he can stay at, which I would think is a great idea.
I love that this is what's on your mind.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
No one breaks down Cubs baseball like Waddle.
No doubt. Well, I can break it down for you. Your bullpen sucks and your guys aren't hitting right now. Next.
Saya, we got a room with a king for you. You're just going to have to share with Alexander Canario.
There you go. Right.
I hope you guys don't mind sharing a bed.
Oh, geez. Tyler was at the game yesterday. Tyler, how did you feel? Because I was more frustrated, even though I was pissed at the bullpen. I have equal frustration for both, but this wasn't like they blew a 2-0 lead like they've been doing. And it was mid game. They still had an opportunity to come back. And I was hoping for a little payback on the Padres. Like the Padres came back from an 8-0 deficit and beat the Cubs. I thought there was an opportunity there with 6-3, nobody out, bases loaded. I was more mad at that inning where they did not score a run with the bases loaded, nobody out. So while I was upset that the bullpen allowed the six runs in that inning? Lady Bird, or what's his name? Richard Lovelady, is that his name?
Yes.
And Palencia now, who is hurt.
That's an area in Long Beach Island, too, Lovelady Island.
Lovelady?
Yeah.
And I was more mad at the PCA at bat, especially, where he did not put the ball in play on a 3-2 count.
I was still more upset with the bullpen because that's been a persistent thing all year, and there's help on the way with the bats, with Bellinger and Suzuki eventually coming back in the near future. Looks like they both could be back this week. Whereas the bullpen, that is a persistent issue every single game, and it feels like every time a starter leaves the game, you're due to still see another three or four runs go up on the scoreboard.
Where do you get a Suarez? That's what you need. You need one of those guys.
Yeah. They've not been able to get one of those guys.
Yeah.
Ever.
You're right about that.
Like, it's been their blind spot. Yeah. Like, they ever since Jed and Theo have gotten here, they are constantly trying to find just stick their finger in the leak. You know, the old
you can say
analogy.
It. Everybody understands. Put your finger in the dike.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Right. You plug it.
You know, okay, well, this year we're going to get Chapman on a rental. Okay, now we're going to get Wade Davis. We're going to give up Soler. But we know he's on the end of his, he's on his last legs, and we're only going to have him for the year. Okay, and now we're going to get a Brandon Morrow, even though he's never truly been a closer, and we're going to pay for him. Now he's always hurt. He's not a solution.
How many teams actually develop guys like that? Not many, right? I mean, guys go up and down, and they several years because I think Suarez is in his
well. So
early
this is
30s,
interesting. Yeah.
He?
So he. I was, it's funny you asked where do you find a Suarez? He spent his 20s. Pitching in independent leagues in Venezuela
right.
while he was a construction worker at the time.
I think he's only been in the bigs for like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah,
hasn't he?
They signed him a couple of years ago when he was 31.
Yeah.
And this year's the first year they actually made him their closer, but he had success. That's the thing with pitchers. Oftentimes you'll find it's the failed starters who can't really hack it, you know, multiple times through the order that end up having better stuff when they go to the pen and they can just let it fly. And you see some success, someone like maybe Michael Kopech. You know, where you let it fly for a little bit and you can throw harder for shorter periods of time. You don't see like closers developed like they used to be.
Right. I mean, does it make it harder? I mean, you're right. Jed and Theo before him couldn't really ever get it right.
And look, I know it's hard, or I know like some of these are freak of nature stories like you just gave me, but they've been here since 2012.
Yeah.
It's 2024.
They have not
found a true
solution. You haven't
even
locked into one.
No. They've not found a true solution. They're always chasing it, and they won't spend on one, nor have they developed one. They're always running after one, and then they always have to overpay at the trade deadline to get one with your prospects.
Wasn't Hader available this past offseason?
Yeah, for $95 million. But the crazy thing is, like, they've had guys like Trevor McGill, who got a save for the Brewers when they played him on Friday. He was on the Cubs' 40-man roster, and they let him go. They let him get away. They've had, like, relievers who have gone on to have success. Shelby Miller has been really good for the Detroit Tigers this year. He was on the Cubs. Mm-hmm. Jason Adam, same thing. He's a great setup man for the Tampa Bay Rays. There's lots of former Cubs pitchers around baseball who are having a lot of success who the Cubs have let get away.
And they've done really well with their starters recently. They've been on a good streak here developing starters. It's the bullpen that have now, it's really cost them. 312-332-3776 if you want to talk some Cubs. Like, I was listening to Carmen and Yurko, and there are some who say, hey, let's sit back and just relax and watch them play and not get all hot and bothered over the losses and enjoy the wins because they're projecting to be a 93-win team. Like, I love the thrill. It's like the wild world of sports. I love the thrills of the victory, but I get pissed off at the agony of defeats. Like, last night bothered me. Blowing the lead on Friday bothered me.
Well, you have a fan. And you have areas that need to be upgraded despite the fact you've gotten off to a really impressive start.
Yeah, yeah. And that you knew were a weakness.
Yes.
And they sort of just have ignored. And now I feel like you're going to have to overpay to pay for it because you didn't want to truly spend on free agency.
I think it's silly to think that a Cub fan can't simultaneously enjoy the quick start, but also be concerned that your bullpen may let you down as you near the end of the season and heading into the postseason.
I'm totally doing both, where it is not lost on me that in two short years, they sold in 2021, and they have quickly turned it around where they have become a true contender in 2024. But I also think they have failed in a couple of different areas where I wish they were a little bit better.
God forbid you have more than one thought.
Yeah, 312-332-3776 if you want to weigh in. Also, is the NFL dragging their feet on the schedule or not? There are some conflicting reports, including from one owner in the National Football League. I will give you that coming up next.
ESPN Chicago's coverage of the 2024 football schedule release is presented by our partners at Hard Rock Casino, Northern Indiana.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie. Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
If you want to talk some baseball with us, be our guest, 312-332-3776. So there have been some articles originally. If you Googled NFL schedule release, the dates that it gave you were tomorrow and Thursday would be released. Like I would have assumed that some of the national games and international games would have trickled out on Wednesday, like the early release, and then probably the show would have been Thursday, like they usually do. But now Pro Football Talk and some of the other websites have said, well, maybe there's some complications. Maybe it has to do with some of the Christmas Eve games getting solidified because of how complex it is with planning the weeks. So maybe we have to wait another week until the schedule gets released. But it's weird because Jim Irsay, I don't know if you guys saw this, 2 hours ago, Jim Irsay tweeted out, I smell a 2024 schedule coming out soon, .. So I don't know if that means next week. I don't know if that means that it is coming out as scheduled, like tomorrow and Thursday. But that's one of the NFL owners. Of course, he's the Colts owner.
He's been MIA for a little bit, hasn't he?
There was a rumor. There was a rumor that he had died.
Right?
Wasn't there that going around the internet? But yeah, he's been tweeting up a storm recently.
Okay, so he's back.
He's
on
back
social
tweeting.
Media.
Yeah, he's back tweeting okay. A lot. So
I don't know why this would be some big. I mean, you're going to get a ton of pub. You're going to get a lot of reaction. It's going to be. I don't know what they're waiting. If they're waiting intentionally for a little bit bigger punch, I don't know. I don't know why they would do that.
Florio pointed out that on Pro Football Talk that 3 years in a row, the NFL has made the second Thursday in May the date that they did release the NFL schedule, which would line up with this Thursday. So that's right. Why a lot of people, I think, have made the assumption right around the draft, because they were running promos during the NFL draft that the release was coming in early May.
And I know that there is, you know, an added complication here because they're going to play games on Christmas Day on a Wednesday for the first time ever. But you would think the machine that is the NFL, knowing this was going to be the case, could have gotten the ball rolling and had this all taken care of by the second Thursday in May again if they wanted to.
Yeah, you'd hope that they have those I's dotted and T's crossed in terms of which teams are playing on Christmas Day.
I heard Carmen the Good Kid having a conversation about what would be your what is your guess for the Bears opening game of the season?
I wanted to do this with you because just in case this happened, you're off tomorrow and Thursday. You're back with us on Friday when you were going to be at Bears minicamp, or at least the rookie minicamp, which should be fun. Caleb and Roma Dunze are going to speak. So is Matt Eberflus. And then the Bears will have, I think it's going to be open to us where we can watch it.
I hope so.
So it's rookie minicamp. This is going to be very, very hyped. I'm very excited
to be
there.
It'll be the first rookie minicamp practice I think we've ever experienced, right? Have you ever seen a...
Did we not go last year?
Did we? I don't think we did.
As home of the Bears, I know we went to a ton of OTAs.
But I don't think we went to day one of the rookie mini.
We didn't? Okay.
I don't think so. Were you interested in watching Darnell Wright block?
I don't know. Tyson Bajan throw? I think maybe we just did Courtney on.
I think so.
Okay, so here, let's do this, and then we'll revisit it next week, too. But let's guess primetime games in the opener. And by primetime, I mean standalone games. I'm not talking about 325 Fox games on Sunday. I'm talking about Thursday night games. I'm talking about Sunday night games and Monday night games when I say primetime games.
What about Christmas? Is Christmas a primetime game or Thanksgiving?
What about London?
London's not.
Is not a primetime game. That's a morning game.
But it's still standalone.
It's standalone, but it's not a prime time game. That's morning is not defined as prime time.
Usually Thursday night, Sunday night, and Monday night. But I'm just asking.
We know London will be a standalone game. We already know that.
Like, will they have the Thanksgiving, Christmas Day?
Like, they may get they may get Detroit and Bears.
Bears,
right? They don't play Dallas this year.
They do not. No.
Let's guess. Let's guess. Just Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night to not muck it up.
Got it.
And opening game. Okay, what do you want to do first?
Like, opener. I think we go opener.
Yeah, I think the opener, like, why wouldn't you want this Bears team that has been the talk of the post or the offseason and their starting quarterback was the first overall selection this year? Why wouldn't you want them in primetime? I would think...
You think that could be the Sunday night
game
or the first one of the, do they still have two Monday night games on the opener or have they done away with that on the opening weekend?
I think they did it this year, didn't they?
No, well, last year, remember, week two had two Monday night games.
Well, this year, right, the season starts off on a Friday in Brazil, right? Is that where the season begins?
That's Philly against the Packers after the Thursday night opener, which we all assume is going to be the Chiefs because they almost always do the...
So we know they're not opening against the Packers. That's taking that out of the equation.
I think Sunday night is a perfect spot for the Bears.
Do you think... Because I'm going to say, even though they're playing them in the Hall of Fame game, I am going Bears-Texans in the opener. This is going to be C.J. Stroud and an up-and-coming Texans team who went to the postseason last year against this year's up-and-coming team. And the only complication is they just played in the first preseason game, but no one's going to play in that game, especially for the Texans. But again, think about all the acquisitions that Houston made.
I think it's possible.
Two of the best wide receiving cores on both sides of the football.
Remember, Stephon Diggs was traded for.
Yes, uh-huh. And Keenan Allen's debut for the Stephon Diggs debut for the Texans, Keenan Allen's debut for the Bears. It's C.J. Stroud's first game in his second year versus the debut of Caleb Williams.
Sexy, it's sexy. I'm thinking
the country's watching that game. It's in Houston.
I think Bears at Lions. Bears at Lions,
a division game.
Well, yeah, and you're playing a team that was was close to getting to the Super Bowl last year.
All right, so you've got Bears-Lions.
Bears-Lions in Detroit. Lions.
Okay. What do you guys have?
Now, can I throw a wrench into your... I think you have a good sound philosophy there, Sylvie, but I will say, with no validity to it, but there is an NFL schedule leaks account out there.
Oh, is it already being publicized?
Well, no. They have five games that they say have been leaked.
That account's not real, though.
Are you sure about that?
I was digging through some of those tweets, and it is not a legitimate account.
So should we even put it out there that the Bears and Texans is leaked to be at week 9 on Sunday Night Football?
That for sure is going to be a national game.
I agree. That's definitely going to be a prime time game.
I just don't think it's week 1.
Okay. But I'm still going with a guess on that. That's still what I'm going with.
I agree. I think the primetime Bears on primetime, you know, they I can't remember them opening on Monday Night Football in a long time. I'm wondering if Caleb Williams gets the Monday Night Football treatment in his first NFL game. And I think it's a juicy storyline. So I think the
Would
Bears...
Would it be a home game?
I think you want to let him open up at home, don't you?
What would be the what would be the team they'd open up against? Could it be Lions at
What
home?
About, my guess would be Bears at San Francisco.
Wow. Hmm.
You opened up against San Francisco, was that 2 years ago?
Yes. That was Justin, that was the monsoon game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now a little return trip, kind of like the college football 1-1.
Yeah, the home and home.
Home and home series. It's not a bad guess. So you're going with a Monday Night Football, Bears, and 49ers.
I'll go Sunday night. Bears and Niners.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you just did a whole thing on Monday.
I like the Monday night idea. I think Caleb at home, Monday Night Football, and I'm going to give them the Vikings.
Ooh, J.J. McCarthy or Sam Darnold?
I think Darnold will probably start, but it's in play.
Okay. Now, what are you guys going with on primetime games? I'm going with the boatload. I'm going with five.
So, what's a match you can have?
Let me bring up something real quick here. There are three Monday night doubleheaders over the course of the season. Week 2, week 3, and week 14.
I'm going two Monday night games, two Thursday night games, and a Sunday night game. I'm going five primetime games.
They're
maxing out.
They're going to max.
They had two Thursday night games last year. And they were not good. They're going to Thursday night again. They're getting two Monday nights, and they're getting a Sunday night with a possibility of a flex late in the season if they're good. So they'll get an early Sunday night game somewhere, and maybe that's the opener.
I'm going to go two Mondays, two Sundays, and one Thursday.
Okay?
I agree.
You're going five.
I agree. Yeah, five for sure. And I think two Sunday night, two Monday night, and a Thursday.
Yeah, I think.
Because the Thursday games are dogs. You want this Bears team on you know, I think you're going to get a primetime game against the Packers. I think you're getting a primetime game against the Lions. Obviously, I predicted that would be the opening game of the season. I think you're going to probably get a primetime game against the Niners and the Texans. And you got one more, right? Maybe we go...
There's going to be a pack. Did you say Packers?
I said Packers, yeah.
Rams
Maybe
is
I was thinking Rams, Meller, because I think the Rams are going to be, you know, be good again. They were a playoff team last year.
Thursday night, though, could be like that dog game.
Could be.
So you could get like Tennessee.
Yeah, or you maybe New get the England. Vikings. Maybe you get another maybe you get know, the Vikings, division yeah. game. Maybe you get the Vikings.
Maybe you toss Panthers, Bears on Thursday night again, because the Panthers have to have one. Remember, you have to have one primetime game, and you have to play on Thursday.
Would they dare do Commanders again on Thursday night? That would be 3 years in a row, but it would be Caleb Williams' return to Washington in his hometown, and it would be Jaden Daniels against Caleb Williams. But it would be 3 years in a row they're giving us Bears and Commanders on Thursday night football.
But for the first time, it actually looks like a good matchup people want to watch. I don't think they would run away from it.
I'm with you. I don't think they'd run from it.
I could see that maybe being like a second Monday nighter.
Well, I think Thursday's the perfect night to put it on. I agree. I think a Thursday night game with the Commanders, it's just like... It's like another holiday. It's like Christmas every year. Commanders on a Thursday night.
That could be like the game coming off of their London trip a week after. You know, or like, don't they usually get a bye coming off of the bye? Don't you usually get a bye week after the London game?
I think so, yeah.
So teams have the choice. If they want to take the bye, they can, or they can choose to have it later in the season.
So they could get like the bye week, and then they get the Thursday, and then you get another long week off of that.
By the way, when are we getting to 18 games? That's happening sooner rather than later,
I would
right?
think so, yeah.
Didn't the commissioner even say something Super Bowl week about how preseason games are meaningless?
Yeah, they're going
to he wants to push the Super Bowl back to President's Week. By the way, coverage of the week surrounding the NFL schedule release is brought to you by Hard Rock Casino, Northern Indiana. They are a great partner for our Bears radio network. Thank you to them. Football Fest and the announcement coming up, too. We've had Football Fest at Hard Rock Casino, Northern Indiana. Can't wait to see those guys out there. They're absolutely awesome. Thank you to them. All right, coming up next, today is a big anniversary, one of the biggest anniversaries in Chicago sports history, and maybe the most important to this franchise. We'll play you that, and I don't think this is one that Waddle can rage against. It's coming up next. Guys, we've been talking about them for years, Chicagoland's finest golf course, the Sanctuary Golf Course in New Lenox, 18 challenging holes on a great track now featuring a 20-bay heated top tracer range. Check out golfsanctuary.com and book a tee time. Home of golfer Bob, that's our guy. You no longer need to find your golf sanctuary.
Listen to us now, live on the ESPN Chicago app. Listen to the show in HD at 100.3 HD2 FM. Listen now on ESPN 1000. This is Waddle and Sylvie, ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
The inbounds pass comes into Jordan. Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo. Goal! The Bulls win it! The Bulls win it! Set the Cleveland Cavaliers. Michael Jordan hits it at the foul line. 1-100. 20,273 in stunned silence here in the Coliseum. Michael Jordan with 44 points in a game. Hit the shot over Craig Elo. What tremendous heroics we have had in game five.
Happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary.
That's right, this is a 35-year anniversary. Where has time gone?
We're old.
You were a rookie on the Bears? Were you here for minicamp yet? Were you a rookie?
In 89.
Yeah, it was the spring of 89.
Yeah, I was probably getting through my first minicamp, not getting a single rep in. Probably being ignored by everybody.
This was, in my opinion, one of the most important moments in like, I don't think it's hyperbole, one of the most important moments in Chicago sports history. I believe it's the most important shot, most impactful shot in Bulls history. I know he has hit, like, he hit a shot to win a championship, the last shot of his Bulls career. I know he has won NBA Finals games. That was game five of a first-round playoff series before they went seven games, and this was game five. But remember, this was a fork-in-the-road moment. I was working as a senior in high school at Sport Mart. I've told you this story many, many times.
By the way, I met the guy who was your manager.
No, you didn't.
Yes, came to my house. He works for Angel Soft Water.
There's no chance you met him. What did he look like?
I'm telling you, he told me that you were in the back not doing your job because you were watching the game. I'm not lying to you.
The person's probably saying that because I've told this story so many times.
I don't believe so.
Was he like, what did he look like? Big fat guy?
No.
No, you're right, because I was lying.
I got his card at home.
I want to say his name was John or something. Like, yeah. Skinny guy, very scrawny.
Yeah, it's 30 some years ago.
Quite awkward. He was an awkward guy.
Nah, he was fine. He was in our house for a water softener issue.
Again, Sport Mart back in the day. Anyone who remembers Sport Mart.
He listens every day too. So
oh, really?
if it's John, call him.
He's gotta be old. I forget what his name is.
I'm sure he's younger than me. Right at my age?
Oh, no, he was older.
Really?
Yeah, he was older.
Okay.
This guy
was lying to me.
Maybe I worked with him.
Maybe you did.
Yeah, I must have worked with him. Because, like, we were just a bunch of high school kids or college kids at the day working at Sport Mart. If you remember going to Sport Mart, they eventually became Sports Authority, but this is the heyday of Sport Mart. If you ever shopped at Sport Mart and you bought shoes at Sport Mart, you know that they were self-service. You would go down the aisles and you would look for the shoes yourself. If you needed help or you couldn't find your shoes, you would get a worker. I worked in the shoe department. I didn't do anything. I basically walked around.
Yeah, what do you want?
Yeah, I killed. I basically, every now and then I'd answer a phone, shoe department line three, shoes line three.
You just wanted to be on the over, like the intercom.
Oh, I loved the intercom. You know me. Like, yeah. I wanted to be in this. I'd go on the intercom, I'd screw around, and then they'd ask, hey, do you have the Nike Air Force 2s in size 10? And then I'd go and I'd look to see, yeah, we've got them, I'll put them on hold, what's your name? So that was my job. So I wasn't needed. Bulls game's on, it's game 5, it's a Sunday, and I'm in the back watching it. I go crazy. My manager comes in back and he starts yelling at me. I go, I've got my break. This is my break. I'm allowed. He goes, yeah, but you're making all this commotion. I go, do you understand what just happened here?
He's trying to sell shoes, man.
Michael Jordan just hit a shot to put the Bulls into the next round of the postseason. If they lose that playoff series, they're out in the first round. They're out. 2 years later, they win a championship. Think if they lose that first round, they didn't get to the Eastern Conference. They don't get to the Eastern Conference Finals. That's where they end up going. Maybe the Cleveland Cavaliers now are the team to beat against the Pistons. And it changes the trajectory of what Michael and Scotty and Horace become. Do you know what I'm saying? So this shot, even though it's the first round of the postseason, changes the course of the Bulls' history.
If he misses that shot, you don't think they win 6 championships?
Yeah. Okay. I don't agree that the trajectory is the same. And I think changes could happen. If they get eliminated in the first round, second round they beat the Knicks. Third round they give the Pistons a pretty good run. The next year they play the Pistons and they take them to 7. 2 years later, they beat the Pistons and they win their first championship. They get eliminated in that first round to the Cavs. Maybe the Cavs, like I said, a really good team. Mark Price, Larry Nance, Brad Doherty, Hot Rod Williams, Craig Elo. That's a really good team. Maybe they become the team. This, to me, is one of the most important moments in Bulls history. Doug Collins, who was on with us, who was just inducted into the NBA Hall of Fame, told us the story about that play and why he called it Sunday Silence. I want to play you that story. And then I want to ask Waddle, like, what is anniversary worthy? Because he has told us in the past there are some anniversaries that he rages against. In my mind, this is one of my favorite moments to reminisce. It's one of those moments, if you're old like me, you remember where you were. Like, what is your favorite moment in Chicago sports history to reminisce about? Maybe one that's not a championship. Let's take the championship out of there. Because those are the easy ones. 312-332-3776. To me, this is probably my favorite one. The shot. Michael over Elo. That call. It's as good as it gets right there. But it's super, super important. 312-332-3776. The story behind it from the coach who is running wild after Michael hit the shot coming up next.